This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Rumblings, rumblings, rumblings under the earth in the stressed real estate market in California. But it's geology, not economics, we're going to talk about. Joining us is Leonardo Sieber, who's senior research scientist at Columbia University. He's on the line from New Paltz, New York. A magnitude 4.8 earthquake shook the foot of the San Andreas Fault on Tuesday after a bunch of very small earthquakes over the weekend. What's the significance of this and the fact that it's at the very famous San Andreas Fault, I suspect, is meaningful here. Professor?
Yes, of course. The San Andreas Fault has not been the site of a big earthquake for some time, so it's loaded to rupture, particularly in that area in the south. And so earthquakes that occur near the faults are quite significant.
Now, when you say loaded, you mean it's like a spring. It's wound up because of movement of the earth that eventually an earthquake will unload that spring. And that's what happens in a major earthquake, the so-called big one in California. Are we closer to that?
Yes, that sounds like a good description. The plates move with respect to each other. The Pacific plate is moving to the northwest relative to North America. And, of course, these big plates don't care exactly what's happening along the plate boundary. So when the faults are locked during most of the time, the motion is absorbed elastically around the fault. And then when the fault ruptures and it reaches the breaking point, then the fault will move for some number of feet. And when that happens, all this elastic energy is released. It goes into seismic waves that propagate away from the fault, and sometimes they do damage.
Now, you sound very sort of aware of the forces at work here. What is it that we're not seeing as seismologists that makes it so difficult to predict a big event, especially if there's so much activity that we can detect?
Because you're looking at a process where the stress is going up slowly, and at some point it will break. And the point of breaking depends on many factors. And, of course, the point of breaking is not known exactly. It can be many different places along the fault where the breaking starts. Once the breaking starts, it propagates down the fault, and the further it propagates, the bigger is going to be the earthquake. And so that's what makes it difficult to predict.
Now, you know, it seems to me I hear about the San Andreas Fault all the time, every time there's any seismic activity in California. But is it the case that the San Andreas Fault has not really busted loose for 300 years?
A portion of the fault near the Salton Sea up to San Gorgonio Pass, that's what it is. It hasn't ruptured in 300 years. And it moves an inch and a half or two per year. And so you can calculate how much is going to move in the big earthquake.
So an inch and a half per year times 300 years,
yeah,
that's,
you know,
oh, my goodness.
Right. It's about 3 centimeters or whatever that is.
Well, that is, I don't like doing that math. Leonardo Sieber, that's something to contemplate this morning.
It's going to be dramatic.
It's going to be dramatic.
You're going to have a fault rupture at the surface. You're going to see it climbing up and down hills.
But again, we can't predict when. We got to go, but I don't want to alarm people. Leonardo Sieber,
no, you
senior.
You can't predict when. You can predict.
Got to go. Okay. That I can predict. Leonardo Sieber, a senior research scientist at Columbia University, talking about the San Andreas Fault.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.